following program is intended for mature audiences.
They used to bounce messages across the earth.
Shows. Everyone in the old world had a show.
Do you think there's still somebody out there? Sending shows?
Who knows? Those are the planes of silence.
Truth, the half-truth, and nothing of the truth. Veritas News now with Sal Manella.
Good evening, this is Sal Manella with the Veritas News. President derelict Donald Trump's days of full frontal sexual assault are rumored to be, so to speak, behind him, as his perverting influence has resulted in state legislatures nationwide where men have grabbed and continue to hold 75% of all seats. When asked if Trump's new propensity for women's derrieres shows a man focused on what's left behind, Senator Mitch McConnell said, quote, "On the contrary, the president's reversal on genitalia grabbing is, ironically, a future vision while still being hindsight," end quote. McConnell, having been discharged from the military for being caught in the act of sodomy, is certainly qualified to present the president's bottom line. The beleaguered and increasingly incoherent president is feeling the heat and sting of recent leaks. Vladimir Glutin, a Russian intelligence operative responsible for the infamous Lord Trump dossier, sheds light on the confusion. He says that while Trump disapproves of hot, stinging leaks, quote, "It's the warm, soothing leaks of gold he enjoys in Moscow hotels that he's into," end quote. When asked what nationality of prostitute the president preferred, Glutin said cryptically, quote, "If you're not wet, European," end quote. Secretary of Education and distant aunt who stays too long under the beauty salon's hair dryers, Betsy DeVos, is warning Trump not to hold a year 2020 presidential campaign rally this weekend in Australia, citing the president's recent on-the-phone tiff with that nation's prime minister as a likelihood to face raging mad Aussies. When Trump's staffers asked her what made her think the president was going to Australia, she told him it was because of a newspaper article saying he'd be rallying in Melbourne. When told that Melbourne is in Florida, she was heard to say, quote, "I didn't know Florida was in Australia," end quote. Staffers said they thought the news article she was referring to did clarify the rally was to be in Melbourne, Florida, to which she responded, quote, "You know I can't read. I guess my staffer left that out," end quote. Still not quite getting that this Melbourne is in the United States and that Florida is not part of Australia, DeVos surrendered efforts to keep the president from rallying, saying, quote, "Maybe it's a good idea. Australia has many electoral college votes," end quote. Canada's Prime Minister Trudeau, studying Trump's handshake style on video, was the first foreign leader to conquer Trump's surprisingly aggressive, on the offense, and sometimes painful arm pull with downward jerk. When Trudeau met Trump for the first time face-to-face, he opted for the best defense is offense technique and aggressively moved to an in-your-face proximity to Trump and strongly grabbed Trump's right shoulder in what seemed like a preemptive attempt that successfully blocked the U.S. president's arm pull with downward jerk. The president's daughter, Ivanka Trump, swooned in Trudeau's presence and reminded the prime minister that here in America, her father had established a tradition with women for yet another aggressive physical greeting, and that Trudeau was more than welcome to try that out on her. The prime minister was said to decline that offer and later, referencing the United States' geographical relationship to Canada's south, referred to the president himself as a pain-inducing downward jerk. Ivanka's mention of her father's infamous physical greeting as undoubtedly referring to his, quote, grab him by the pussy, end quote, practice. On that subject, in an effort to beat out next weekend's Oscar telecast and TV ratings, Trump will appear in sumo wrestling garb as Trump the Thump, where he'll face female wrestler Wrestlicious Ricci in the ring. Republican lawmakers, unbeknownst to the World Wrestling Association, have rewritten wrestling rules to allow for Trump the Thump's pussy hold. This has been Sal Manila with the Veritas News. Now here's Tom Savino with Savino Veritas.
Live from Burbank, California. What a 28 days it's been. Seems like 28 years. The president is still in power. The president is still in the White House. But people around him are dropping like flies. This is Tom Savino with Savino Veritas from Burbank, California. Thank you for joining us. In this interesting historic time, we are making a difference. We're making a difference. Resist and persist and enjoy Savino Veritas.
Savino Veritas.
Total fabrication.
The gripes of rap.
You can play the game and you can act out the part, though you know it wasn't written for you. But tell me, how can you stand there with your broken heart? Ashamed of playing a fool. But one thing can lead to another. It doesn't take any sacrifice. Oh, father and mother, sister and brother, if it feels nice, don't think twice. Just
shower the people you love with love. Show them the way that you feel. Things are gonna work out fine if you only will. Do as I say, yeah. Shower the people you love with love. Show them the way.
Hey, sweetheart. I wanted to reach out to you and tell you how much that I absolutely love and adore you.
George, I love you so much. When we met, truly changed my life, and I'm a better person for knowing you. And you're such a good boy. Yes, you are. Thanks for being the best dog ever, Georgie.
I know we only met this weekend, but there's something kind of special about just staying up all night while somebody explains quantum mechanics and you play an interstellar drinking game, and then having to pretend none of it happened the next day at work.
Now that she's back in the atmosphere, a drop of Jupiter in her hair.
Hi, it's been a while. And no matter what, I still love you. Think about you all the time, and I know we're not together anymore, but I still love you. I hope you're doing well, and I probably won't ever see you again, but I love you.
I am calling this number so that I don't call you. This would have been our fourth Valentine's Day together. And I know you're not the sentimental type, but you have a lot of memories, and around this season is particularly hard.
I just want to let you know, baby, I'll marry you and I'll kick you in the ground. I know you don't like a lot of people knowing about you in the ground. Well, guess what? Everybody's going to know now. You're beautiful with it and without. And your beard, oh my God, I love it.
You're the best thing that has happened to me. And I love you and I miss you. Yes, we'll always have Paris.
This is the first year that I would even have a Valentine in probably 10 years. He is the best person. He makes me feel happy. He does the little things that make me feel whole again. Love you, boo. And I am so grateful to have you in my life.
Yes, my Valentine. Her name is Sandra Harper, my wife. Best. She does everything and anything for me and my family, our family, our kids. She's awesome, and I love her so much.
She acts like summer and walks like rain. Reminds me that there's time to change. Yay, I love you.
We are so grateful and honored to have General Flynn as our nominee for National Security Advisor. He brings an extraordinary wealth of experience.
Here at Savino Veritas, you're going to get information and data you will not find anywhere else. Now, the much hated and deservedly so hated Stephen Miller, who is some sort of policy advisor for Donald Trump. The 31-year-old twerp is despicably hated, and I get this information. Now, this is interesting, very interesting. I think you ask 100 people, I guarantee you, you'll find at least 90 will hate Stephen Miller. I guarantee it. Guarantee it. Tremendous. He's tremendously hated. Nobody's tremendously hated. Tremendously. Anyway, Stephen Miller, much hated person, who his ugly face hit the airwaves this week in defense of the beleaguered Donald Trump. Now, I want to thank Bill Minnick for this. Bill Minnick, who is a Frank Cotolo friend and listener of Cotolo Chronicles, and I don't know, maybe a listener of Savino Veritas, I don't know, but he sends me a lot of material, and I want to thank him for that. Now, he sent me screenshots from someone's Facebook page. Now, I can't even tell you who this person is, but I tell you that it is a Facebook page from 6:19 p.m. Sometime in the not long ago, in hindsight, as our announcer Sal Manillo was reporting earlier, back in hindsight. Well, anyway, on this Facebook page is a description of Stephen Miller. Now, here it is. This is from the school, from, I believe, high school. And I think Stephen Miller went to Santa Monica High School. Too bad for Santa Monica. Too bad for California, if he's a California citizen. Maybe we could do something about that. We could use him to stop up the Oroville Dam. Anyway, This is from someone's Facebook page, a description of Stephen Miller. One, at a school with 4,300 students, he was hands down the most unliked person on campus. Whenever I was feeling unpopular or nerdy, I would just think, at least I'm not Stephen Miller, and I would immediately feel better. Two, he developed way too fast. It's why he looks 50 years old today, but is only 31. He had a full Adam's apple by the time he was 12 years old and had a receding hairline as a sophomore in high school. Any hair that's on his head today is either a transplant or a wig, and that may be why he's become such a trusted advisor of the president. Three, he was an unabashed racist. An unabashed racist. No, I'm not being oversensitive, and no, I'm not using the R word where it doesn't apply. In private conversations, he was constantly making disparaging remarks about the African American, Latino, and Asian students at our school. And four, he thrives on people not liking him. Man, this is really interesting. He thrives on people not liking him. At a certain point in his life, he realized he would just be an insignificant little shit unless he was able to piss people off. Well, he's certainly successful at that. While giving a speech on why he should be the school's president, he was booed off stage by 4,300 people when he said, "Why do we have to clean up after ourselves when we pay janitors to do that?" I saw him later that day, and he talked about how well he thought the speech had gone. Also, his dad was a slumlord who owned apartments in the San Fernando Valley and didn't take care of them. So he's really an awful human being that can't feel unless people are mad at him. Interesting, because it all fits, because he is like purposely despicable and purposely generates hate. He and Steve Bannon, the two Steves, the Feast of Stephen in the White House, the two Steves are the most despicable, hated people I can think of. If I think of in history, I think of Hitler, but he's gone. So living today, Steve Bannon and Steve Miller are the most despicable, well-deservedly hated people on the planet. And we were better off rid of them as soon as possible, by any means possible, Alex Jones. By any means possible.
Last night, Donald Trump.
For Monday night, Stephen Colbert, The Late Show.
Totally rigged. Millions of illegal Grammy voters said. Didn't happen. No. Fake news. That's fake news. Fake award. Massachusetts.
This week, Donald Trump took Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe down to Mar-a-Lago. And at dinner, Trump was swarmed with paying members who are hoping for a few seconds with the president. Now, I know that sounds like corruption. Let me set the scene. President Trump and Prime Minister Abe are eating their dinners when they receive news that North Korea had test-launched a ballistic missile. This is a provocation by a rogue nuclear state. So President Trump immediately retreated to a secure location where he could be briefed on the details. I'm just kidding. Trump took the call on his cell phone at the table, and the meal quickly morphed into a strategy session in full view of the fellow diners. That's right. Trump's team handled an international crisis like teens at an after-prom party looking at Derek's Instagram. Did you know he's with Kaylin? Did you know he's with Kaylin? I didn't even know Kaylin had nukes. That's sad. Other diners even posted Facebook photos of Trump and Abe looking at what imagines are classified documents by the light of someone's cell phone flashlight. But I'm sure those documents are secure unless that cell phone flashlight also somehow has a camera attached to it. Can't happen. Another guy posted Facebook photos of himself with the guy who carries around the nuclear launch codes, identifying the staffer by name. This is Rick. Rick is the man. Or Rick is the man. Or, more accurately, Rick was the man until his identity was compromised next to the carving station. The guy has since taken down the Facebook post, and I can't blame him. I mean, he only got 20 likes. I think a post about the nuclear launch codes really should have blown up. Of course, what? Of course, people are still upset about Trump's travel ban. So yesterday, Trump sent out a new face, White House senior policy advisor and young Gargamel, Stephen Miller. He was on all the Sunday shows. He was on The Nation Face. He was on Meet the Goatee and Sunday with This Week George. And The Nation Face himself, John Dickerson, had an introspective question for Miller.
When I talk to Republicans on the Hill, they wonder, what is the White House? What have you all learned from this experience with the executive order?
Our opponents, the media, and the whole world will soon see, as we begin to take further actions, that the powers of the president to protect our country are very substantial and will not be questioned.
Adding, I am become death, destroyer of worlds. Kneel before Zod. Kneel. Kneel. Have John Dickerson washed and brought to Zod's tent. Jimmy, can we just play that last sentence again, please?
The powers of the president to protect our country are very substantial and will not be questioned.
Will not be questioned? Let me test that theory. What the f*** are you talking about? Miller didn't just talk about the travel ban. This week, the Department of Homeland Security estimated that Trump's border wall is going to cost $21.6 billion bills. But Miller says it's a good investment.
This wall will pay for itself many, many, many times over.
It will pay for itself? I thought Mexico was paying for it. Now Trump's gonna make the wall pay for the wall? That's not fair. That's not fair at all. But Miller took his strongest stand when it came to defending the president's super crazy charges of voter fraud. This week, Trump said the only reason he lost New Hampshire is because voters were bussed in from Massachusetts. And Miller has the evidence, kinda sorta.
Ellen Weintraub, who says, I call upon the president to immediately share New Hampshire voter fraud evidence so that his allegations may be investigated promptly. Do you have that evidence?
This morning on this show is not the venue for me to lay out all the evidence.
Okay. Not all the evidence. How about some of the evidence? Maybe any of the evidence?
George, go to New Hampshire, talk to anybody who's worked in politics there for a long time. Everybody's aware of the problem in New Hampshire.
Oh, I didn't know he had an eyewitness. Your Honor, I'd like to call to the stand anybody in the state of New Hampshire. Get him up here. And while Miller doesn't want to show any evidence on TV, he will show all of his face on any of it.
I'm prepared to go on any show, anywhere, anytime, and repeat it and say the President of the United States is correct 100%.
Any show, anytime, anywhere? Perfect. How about The Late Show tomorrow at the Ed Sullivan Theater? Guess what? You've already confirmed that you'll be here tomorrow. Need evidence? Ask anyone in the state of New Hampshire. And listen, if you don't show up, I'm gonna call you a liar. And if you do show up, I'm gonna call you a liar to your face. We got a great show for you tonight.
Father, let me love you. Saw you wandering in my dream last night, singing, wonder, wonder what you might do. You can't simply hide a dream in the blue. Don't try to find.
More on the man we love to hate, Stephen Miller. This was from a magazine, online magazine, called The Root, R-O-O-T, The Root. Stephen Miller, the other big racist in the White House, is the name of the article by Michael Arsenault, A-R-C-E-N-E-A-U-X. Parlez-vous français? Arsenault? Oui, oui. I believe it's a French name. I'm sure he's American, though, like an American citizen. Of course, that's becoming a grayer area all the time, American. So who's an American citizen? But anyway, I'm going to read you this article. White House senior policy advisor. Senior policy advisor. 31-year-old twerp senior policy advisor. Stephen Miller has the charm of Hannibal Lecter and the ideology of a neo-Nazi who prefers to sit in business class. While Miller's name was dropped throughout the presidential campaign, it was only last week that the other big racist in the White House really made his presence felt after making the rounds on various Sunday talk shows, an often lily-white platform that ought to have made him feel right at home. But I digress. Excuse me. And oh, did he make an impression as he switched back and forth from, quote, it rubs the white supremacy on its skin, end quote, to teases of young Anakin Skywalker shortly after pledging allegiance to Darth Sidious. In many ways, Miller was your typical 45 surrogate. 45, referring to the 45th president of the United States, who likes to publicize that on hats and various things. So Miller was a typical 45 surrogate. He lied like hell about voter fraud. Likewise, Miller refused to be truthful about the travel ban being a ban specifically targeting Muslims seeking to enter the United States. I'd also be remiss if I didn't mention that Miller also wears an ill-fitting suit, which increasingly appears to be a requirement for any man working for that White House. Interesting point. I like that nice point there, Michael. What's with the suits? Even Trump, who's supposedly a billionaire, can't afford a suit that fits, although it would be hard to fit a body like his. Anyway, so where was I? Of all Miller's appearances, though, did I skip a line? No, I'm sorry. Excuse me, any man that works for that monster, not working for the White House, any man that works for that monster, I'd have to agree with you, Michael. Of all Miller's appearances, though,
the one that stood out most and what separates him from his colleagues was his segment on CBS's Face the Nation. There, Miller bumped his pale chest high into the whitest cloud he could find in the sky to let us, the viewing public, know one thing. You do not question Colby Jack Fuller. Miller was asked about the disastrous executive order, which he is largely responsible for writing and subsequently fumbling. Still, when asked about what he has learned from his experience, Miller decided to go the authoritarian route rather than any apologetic one, answering, Well, I think it's been an important reminder to all Americans that we have a judiciary that has taken too much power and become, in many cases, a supreme branch of government. One unelected judge in Seattle cannot remake laws for the entire country. I mean, this is just crazy, John. The idea that you have a judge in Seattle say that a foreign national living in Libya has an effective right to enter the United States is beyond anything we've ever seen before. The end result of this, though, is that our opponents, the media, and the whole world will soon see, as we begin to take further actions, that the powers of the president to protect our country are very substantial and will not be questioned. He didn't say period after that, like he should. I will continue reading this article in a moment, but we just got breaking news from the Washington Post that Donald Trump has asked another candidate to replace Flynn. Now, the little news clip I got did not say who that person was, but Donald Trump did ask another person to replace Flynn, and that person has declined. I'm sure there'll be more about that as the night moves on. Back to the article. It's been all too apparent that Colby Jack Fuller has strong-armed dreams. Now, that's a good description of him, Colby Jack. He's kind of a cheesy guy. Great American cheese again, everybody. Great American cheese again. It's been all too apparent that Colby Jack Fuller has strong-armed dreams, and his team of deplorables are longing to bite the heads off anyone who stands in their way as they pursue absolute power. However, the more you read about Miller, the more frightening it is to consider that this is a person who writes policy and serves the president. In Univision's, quote, How White House Advisor Stephen Miller Went from Pestering Hispanic Students to Designing Trump's Immigration Policy, end quote, by Fernando Pianado. It reports in that this. In his third year at a school, the 16-year-old Miller wrote a letter to The Lookout, a local publication, about his negative impression of Hispanic students and the use of Spanish in the United States. Quote, When I entered Santa Monica High School in ninth grade, I noticed a number of students lacked basic English skills. There are usually very few in any Hispanic students in my honors classes, despite the large number of Hispanic students that attend our school. Miller wrote. Even so, pursuant to district policy, all announcements are written in both Spanish and English. By providing a crutch now, we are preventing Spanish speakers from standing on their own, end quote, he added. As politically correct as this may be, it demeans the immigrant population as incompetent and makes a mockery of the American ideal of personal accomplishment, end quote, said the creep Miller. In that article, Miller also complained about his school's celebration of Cinco de Mayo, the existence of a gay club, and a visit by a Muslim leader. Additionally, there is an exhausting list of Miller's bold displays of homophobia, xenophobia, and sexism. In Stephen Miller, a key engineer for Trump's America First agenda. Washington Post writer Rosalind S. Helderman reveals, quote, this from Washington Post, from that person just mentioned, cultural identity issues appear to particularly animate Miller. In a column in his high school newspaper titled, quote, A Time to Kill, end quote, he urged violent response to radical Islamists. He said, quote, we have all heard about how peaceful and benign the Islamic religion is, but no matter how many times you say that, it cannot change the fact that millions of radical Muslims would celebrate your death for the simple reason that you are Christian, Jewish, or American, end quote, said Miller. Arya Rosmarin, a civil rights lawyer who edited the student newspaper at the time, recalled that Miller was especially critical of a Mexican-American student group. She said, quote, I think he's got a very sharp understanding of what words and issues will poke and provoke progressives, because he came up around it and really cut his teeth picking these fights that had low stakes but high offense, Rosmarin said. Low stakes but high offense. That's a kind of a good description of the whole Trump M.O. And now this is, the M.O. comes from a guy like Stephen Miller and Stephen Bannon, Feast of Stevens. Low stakes, high offense. As for how he behaved at Duke University, well, this administration official doesn't mince words. This is from Via the News and Observer. This is from Duke. At Duke, Miller never seemed to have a problem with disagreements. He sought them out and enjoyed the fight, according to those who knew him. Quote, he's the most sanctimonious student I think I ever encountered, end quote, said John Burness, Duke's former senior vice president of public affairs and government relations. Quote, he seemed to be absolutely sure of his own views and the correctness of them, and seemed to assume that if you were in a disagreement with him, there was something malevolent or stupid about your thinking, incredibly intolerant. At Duke, Miller became friends with white supremacist Richard Spencer, and they both belonged to Duke Conservative Union. When asked about Miller's White House appointment last December, Spencer told Mother Jones, quote, Stephen is a highly competent and tough individual, so I have no doubt that he will do a great job, end quote. Miller looks like he grew up skinning alive any black-colored pet he could find, so this ringing endorsement makes sense. What's most frightening, though, is that Miller does not operate as a Twitter egg or Reddit user, nor is he just some online columnist with free rein to be vile and racist. Miller has real power now. In the now prophetic New York piece, quote, the President Trump's first term, end quote, published last fall, Evan Ossos wrote, quote, to understand whom Trump trusts to put policy vision into practice, I contacted Stephen Miller, his national director of policy, who serves as a fiery warm-up speaker at Trump rallies. Miller, who is 31, worked for Michelle Bachmann. Oh, boy, another genius. Worked for Michelle Bachmann of Minnesota and later for Senator Jeff Sessions of Alabama, a prominent Republican critic of free trade deals and illegal immigration. Miller has been described by Politico as, quote, a deeply unsettling figure even to many in his own party, end quote, in part because of his writings in college and high school. While attending Duke University, Miller accused the poet Maya Angelou of, quote, racial paranoia, end quote, and described a student organization as a, quote, radical national Hispanic group that believes in racial superiority, end quote. Miller asked me to speak to several Trump advisors on the economy and trade. Back to the article. The more one reads about Stephen Miller, the more terrifying he becomes. And as easy as it is to poke fun at the people in this administration to help us cope with what's happening, the likes of Miller awaken extreme fear. You know these people are bigots. They have never disguised it. Still, there is a blatancy and smugness in Miller that's disarming. If he is going to be a liar, he should not be on television. But keeping him from television will not negate that he serves as an advisor to the president and helps write policy. Miller will take his lifelong disdain for all things other, quote other, and legislate his revenge. And as of now, the only hope we have of getting rid of him is Joe Scarborough making sense of 45 through his MSNBC show, Morning Joe. How terrifying.
We obtained an outline of a documentary proposal that Stephen Bannon worked on 10 years ago that would have been a treatment about the rise of Islamic fascism in the United States. The iconic image of the U.S. Capitol on a pristine spring day, the dome glistening under an azure sky and a brilliant sun. As the camera pulls in, we notice something strange, something not right. Old Glory fluttering from its flagpole on the Capitol's portico looks different, but we can't put our finger on it. As we pull in, we see why. Instead of the stars and stripes, the crescent and star. What's interesting about this outline is it goes beyond a discussion about radical Muslims and talks about an anxiety that Islamic community groups were really serving as front groups that were allowing these elements to have cover in society, and as well a sense that a broad range of institutions in society, from the media to universities to the government, were essentially providing an outlet for some of these elements to come into society by appeasing them. Bannon himself has talked about how this could be a very violent struggle and has cited really historic battles going back to the Crusades between Christianity and Islam when talking about the conflict that faces the West when it comes to radical Muslims. Bannon is by the president's side at almost all times. We've seen in photos from the Oval Office when President Trump is calling world leaders, almost always Stephen Bannon is in the room with him. We know that he is having a very heavy hand and a lot of involvement in drafting the slew of executive orders that have come out of the White House.
Secondly, I'm establishing new vetting measures to keep radical Islamic terrorists out of the United States of America. We don't want them here.
We know that Bannon had a strong hand in helping draft one of the early executive orders that President Trump signed, which did temporarily ban travel from 7 Muslim-majority countries. And there's no question that he is almost without peer in terms of his influence inside the White House. There's perhaps no one else who has as much influence and access to the president other than President Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner.
Ladies and gentlemen, Forget About It is proud to present Build the Bull Testosterone. Let's give it up and let's hear it for Build the Bull Testosterone. Hey everybody, hey everybody, hey, how you doing? The time of the year again, the tax season. Oh my God, the tax season. Yeah, my little nephew, what a pisser, and a shitter too. I remember because I had to change those crappy diapers for a week when I house sat in my sister and brother-in-law's house in the Jersey Shore. Well, you know, not the Jersey Shore exactly. It was inland, Freehold, but, I house sat after the Super Storm Sandy, when there was after Sandy. That's when Freehold was on the Jersey Shore. Hey, but my pissin' shittin' nephew Guido, he's cute, you know? Like a little kid mafioso sort of way, you know? He wants to know everything about the old wise guys. he's, you know, Al Capone, Al Capone. He's obsessed with Al Capone, my little nephew. Yeah, he wanted to know what's in Al Capone in prison. I told him it was tax evasion. He was sent to federal prison for not paying his tax. He looked at me worried. I said, "What's the matter, kid?" He said, "I'm going to federal prison too, Uncle. Am I going?" I said, "Not unless you didn't pay your tax." He started crying and bawling and crying. I said, "What's the matter, kid?" He said, "I don't pay my tax. I don't even pay my crayons or my glue sticks." Hey, don't worry, kid. Don't worry. No problem, you know. I got those for you. Remember? We don't need to pay tax on crayons or glue sticks or tax either. Because I didn't even pay for them. You know what I mean? They fell off the truck. Income tax. Forget about it. You know, it's not only my nephew, this massacre of the language, the murder of the word tax. It's a family thing. My first job was laying carpet with my uncle's installation business in Brooklyn. You may have heard of it. Lie like a rug. Anyway, I tried to get Uncle Sally to modernize, you know, so on the jobs that I did myself, I replaced the old hammering method with a heavy-duty stapler. You know, high-tech. Uncle Sally went to all my jobs, mad as hell, pulling out my installations because of those damned high-tech staples, and reinstalling them with his hammer, yelling, "Out go the staples, income tax. Out go the staples, income tax. My own. Hey, Brooklyn, this is Bill Testosterone. Forget about it. Thank you."
Barfos in Brooklyn welcomes Bill the Bull Testosterone.
Hey, hello Brooklyn, hello Barfos. Bill the Bull here, Bill the Bull Testosterone. Thank you. I see everybody bought two drinks already. All right. The night's still young, too. Yeah. Which is more than I can say for you, sir. Were you carted at the door, buddy? I'm thinking if Angela asked for your ID, you'd pull out a death certificate. Just having fun with you, sir. Just having fun. Have a drink on me. Take my wine, please. I think the box came in Boston Seal, tasting a bit vinegary. Yeah, vinegary. I think that's the general state of affairs for most people now. Vinegary. That's our attitude right now, you know. We got a lot to worry about, a lot of things. Hey, Carmine, the owner here, Barfo's telling me that they have no trouble getting you people to drink the two-drink minimum early in the evening. Ever since you know who, did you know what? You know who is Donald T. Rump. And you know what? He's convinced a walking dead like this guy who took the boxed wine to vote for him. Yeah, real sad. That's what he likes to say, sad. That's he sad, yeah. Any Trump supporters here? Oh, hey, this is Brooklyn, not Staten Island. You idiots? You're in the wrong borough. Get on your donkeys and go to Staten Island, borough. Hey, drink up, everybody. We're drinking heavy ever since we won. Why? Fear. We're numbing our fear. Or, you are, not me. I have no fear of T-Rump. Why? I know what and who he's afraid of, if you catch my drift. If you know what I mean. If you know where I'm coming from. Where I'm coming from is Atlantic City, if you know what I mean. If you catch my drift. T-Rump, man, he said he drained a swamp in Washington. The one thing the orangutan man was and is afraid of are the guys who made feds literally drain swamps for bodies and body parts. Yeah. Hey, yeah, you know that bastard Trump people joke about making Christie disappear? Yeah, they joke about Christie disappearing. Which would be next to impossible, now that I think about it. A mass of flesh so big, even that Carbonaro guy couldn't make him disappear. People joked that the Trump people whacked Christie at a carjack chop shop where they cut him into pieces, then threw him, ironically, off the George Washington Bridge. Hey, Maron, no way! No way! Even without Christie ordering closures, traffic tie-ups just to the approach of the GW Bridge would make that impossible. They still be waiting there. By the time they got to the toll booth, that Christie corpse, chopped up or not, would smell like a beached whale. He should smell like what you look like, I guess. Yeah, no way, no way they couldn't have done that. For the record, if Christie hadn't personally straddled the intermittent white lines painted on the road, physically blocking two lanes of traffic to the bridge, and hadn't been holding a sign that said Bridge to Nowhere while doing it, I think he would have had a shot, found not guilty. But not too much brains there. Hey, but the type of guys that Trump really fears are the guys who really got the Carbonaro effect down pat. If you know what I mean, if you catch my drift. Before that Carbonaro dude was even born. Real Jersey casino mobsters who really made guys disappear. Sometimes to be found in those real swamps that the feds really drained. Guys like Robert Labuti. Robert Labuti, high roller at the Trump Plaza Casino and soldier for John Gotti. Trump made the mistake of falling for Labuti's daughter, Edith. Robert made sure he put an end to that quick before Trumpster tried to grab little Edie's pussy. He had pussy grabbed with that Trump. Labuti knew of Trump's reputation for being a bit of a womanizing magician himself, you know, because Trump was sleight of hand. Sleight of hand. Two guys who were there with Trump and Labuti said, he was the most obnoxious, vile, disgusting, arrogant son of a bitch I ever knew. Yeah, they both said that. And they were talking about Labuti, not Trump. But you remember Trump says, I have the best words. Nobody has better words than me. I have the best words. No, Labuti has the best words. Labuti told Trump, face to face, directly, no fucking tweets. In your face, communique using the best words. Quote, if you don't stay away from my daughter, Donald, I'll fucking pull your balls from your legs, end quote. Hey, the threat there may not have been anatomically correct in accurately identifying the bodily location of Donald's, Trump's, balls, but Don the Con got the message loud and clear. He backed off right away after giving Edith the gold Mercedes-Benz for her birthday. Her dad definitely didn't like the message it sent. Yeah, he was okay with the Mercedes part. But he didn't like the sound so much of the Benz, at least in relation to, let's say, a position he wouldn't want his daughter to take. Elections, presidents, elections, the presidents. You had Hillary been crude, rude, tasteless woman more in line with Trump's vulgarity. She would have amended her slogan, Stronger Together, with and freer after I pulled Donald's motherfucking balls from his legs. And then she would have won. She would have won then. Yeah, she could have. Yeah, hell yeah. You know, if just one tough wise guy, going to Trump alone, though, face to face, and said, show us your fucking tax returns now or I'll shove every fucking 1040 long form on the East Coast up your fucking ass. We'd see all the things we know already. Trump's hundreds of businesses in Russia and Saudi Arabia and the fact that he's paid $0 for NYPD and Secret Service that protect the son of a bitch, all of which was paid for by us for the last 2 years and Lord knows how long. Gee. Come on, Democrats. You must know some wise guys. I know a mobster myself, you know, but right after he'd whack a guy and make him disappear, he'd cry. He'd always cry. He couldn't stop crying for weeks. Eventually, the crying gave him away, and he was arrested for racketeering. Maybe we should get that Carbonaro guy after all. Ah, get the Carbonaro guy over here and make him freaking disappear. Well, I'll look into it. In the meantime, get Trump drunk, everybody. Get Trump drunk, everybody. Hey, this is Bill the Bold. It's Dr. Roney. Remember, great American cheese again.
Is satire spelled backwards with a V for victory.
Savino Veritas in Wine the Truth. This is Artist D.
And Anne Marie from Up All Night on For Culture Radio.
Have you got any wine, Anne Marie?
I'm completely intoxicated.
We love to wine. We drink wine. We listen to Savino Veritas every week at JuiceTalk.com. Don't we love Tom?
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Tom.
How you doing?
I know that theme song. It's Ducks on Parade from Dead Air, the 1970s radio comedy hit, the original Dead Air. You can hear Dead Air and Savino Veritas and many other unique radio shows on JuicedTalk.com. We the people of the United States stand up, resist, persist. We're making a difference, Remember, an avalanche for which there is no defense is made up entirely of nothing more than individual snowflakes. That's the truth, Veritas. Truth, Savino Veritas, the fine wine of select gripes. We the people must defeat he the pee-hole enthusiast. Next week's hear our third annual Savino Veritas Academy Award special live in the studio here with the guest comedian Jeremy Long and film critic Zane Delgado and me, Tom Savino of Savino Veritas.
Meeting is adjourned. Oh, I am sorry, sir. I didn't mean to overstep my bounds. You say that.
What?
Meeting is adjourned.
It is?
No, you say that, Governor.
What?
Meeting is adjourned.
It is?
The end.
By George, he's got it. It is the end.
No, that'll be all. Just be sure to lock the door behind you on your way out. Good night.
Too bad.